Your attention, please. If we can just take a minute just to grab our seats, that would be great. So thank you very much for coming tonight. It's a great blessing to have Pastor Nyan and Pastor Nyer, two of them, Jess and Timothy, with us again. They've come back home having had a holiday at Southern Cross for a few days, and they said it's a lot colder over there than it is here. So, but no, thank you very much for coming back. We've been studying about evangelism for a number of weeks, going through John's Gospel, and it's really wonderful, I think, that Pastor Nyan can come. He is an evangelist, and you can see he's been very, very effective evangelist. And so if anyone can teach us from the experience of God's Word in evangelism, and certainly that's Pastor Nyer. And so praise the Lord for his providential provision for us at this time. I will pray and then I'll hand over to Pastor Nyer, who has told me that he will open up for any questions at the end. So that's good to know ahead of time, so you'll be thinking about that. And appreciate you making yourself available in that way as well. Okay. Well, I'll pray and ask the Lord's blessing upon our meeting. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the gospel which has saved us and now has been committed into our hands. That is also a great privilege. We're not worthy to be saved or even to carry the saving message. But Lord, you've been very gracious to us. And Father, I do pray that you might use the time that we have together this evening to speak to us through your word and through your servant. Father, we have many things to learn. And we pray that whatever it is that you want us to hear and receive and learn tonight, pray that we wouldn't miss it. Pray that we'd be very attentive to the word of God and to the spirit of God. And whatever it is that you teach us tonight, Lord, I pray that we'd do it, not to decide whether or not we should do that, but I pray that even before we begin, our commitment would be to be faithful to the Word of God. Whatever the Word of God says, that's the thing that we're going to do by the grace of God. And so, Lord, I pray that you might work in us tonight and work through us, we pray. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Nyan.
Good evening. As Pastor Matthew said, it's very good. It's home away from home. And we were just in the Southern Cross, very kind, and they just took care of us. And it's all but when we come back to Condor Park, it's a home away from home. And I'm so thankful for you folks and that we can gather around you. And Pastor was talking about teaching. It sometimes you see that the evangelism, a lot of books being written, evangelism explosion, evangelism, and all those kind of things, we can see that. So we have a lot of understanding from different views of evangelism. But sometimes we learn all those things and go to the place we just messed up, isn't it? I remember that I was very aggressive in the early stage when I got saved. That's something happened to me in the hospital had happened. Nobody ever told me to go and talk to somebody else. But as soon as I got saved, I knew everybody on my left and right and back, our friend, everybody is going to go to that lost place called eternal hell. So I need to tell them. So I began to talk to each and every person there. Almost around 300, 180 patients plus their relatives and people. Almost within 2 weeks' time, over 300 people heard gospel out of my mouth. That was really a problem. The doctor put me in bed rest, said, you are going to die, brother, and you should be here. Because, I was very bad shape, a very kind doctor. But I was praying, Lord, just help me. Something happened to me. And I need to tell to others because they need that. That's the only way they can be right with God. So what that is going to stop me? That's what my problem. So even I will tell you sometimes, when I got out from the hospital, I went to the place where there are movie theaters, people line for taking the ticket. I used to go and distribute tract there and talking to them. I mean, they really thought I'm a crazy fellow, you know, because it's kind of, I knew that they're lost. The great things in my life, which was, I began to think about my grandmother. I know that one of the best person ever I knew in my early stage. She is my mother's mother. So much I loved her, and she loved me. But the best of my knowledge, she never ever heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as soon as she passed away, I did not want to even stay in my home. I just got out and went to army. And that I could not swallow that where she is, you know. And I know according to God's word, she had a lost eternity. I couldn't sleep many times thinking about my grandma. And but then gradually God began to just make me to understand, accept it, you know. He loves her more than me. And who knows? It's only just in him. So thinking all those kind of things, I just to bring few thinking, and maybe which will help you and me to be in a better involved in evangelism. Sometimes you talk about evangelism, many people can talk so many things. I had a good, great teacher in the college I was studying. He taught me evangelism. So I said, this is the right person, because even before I went to Bible college, I started just reaching out people. So I said, come on, Dr. Divakar, we'll go. No, I taught you, you can go, and I'm not coming. He said, I only just teach practical things. All the theory. But I'm not called for that. I got disappointment. Sometimes people can talk about evangelism, never do evangelism. You know, that's sometimes, you know, I get upset with that. And I have a teacher, I used to have a teacher in the Bible college, we have to ask him to leave. He always tell that God gave the gift to teaching. So I teach them, let them go. I said, no, you have to go. If you are just teaching in this college, you need to go along with the students and go winning souls. That is not also right, because we are kind of forcing people also. It must come from within. It's come from really a child of God. It's beyond to come from within, then you're going to go. Our Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Right? That preaching does not mean that every one of us cannot be preachers, but every one of us can share the gospel. That sometimes people forget about. You and I don't have to go to Bible college to share the gospel. Okay, just like to read a few verses. We'll just go in the best things. I'll let go. Acts chapter 9. I did not want to touch John because you are teaching from Gospel John, brother. Acts chapter 9. I'm thinking about the conversion of Paul. As he was taking this group of people going to Damascus, try to gather people, those who trust the Lord Jesus Christ, to bind them and bring them back to Jerusalem, or just to put them in jail. He's a persecutor. He's very aggressive in his conviction. These people should not be changing their religion against Christianity, you know. As he was going with the band of people, the Word of God says, chapter 9, verse 6. We'll read verse 5. And he said, maybe we'll read from verse 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Then he's answering, verse 5. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Then verse 6. And he trembling, Paul shook by hearing that, he was shook, because he was just fighting with the pricks, and he began to just realize that. And then he says, he trembling and astonished said, astonished. It is everything is changed in his mind, astonished. He was going against something, now he just came to reality. Astonished said, Lord, I like that word, Lord, he understood, this is Lord. And says, Lord, what will thou have me to do? No more question. That is the very acknowledge of himself to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, first of all, I said, I just put an ABCD. Acknowledge with assurance. If you and I want to be a good evangelist or soul winner or leading others to Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, you and I need to acknowledge ourselves with assurance, we know the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that was many times people just get confused, you know. We are afraid that what kind of question people are going to ask us, you know. Many times people have the theory, but not practical. I had a student in our Bible college, he's from Catholic background. Even somebody asks him, he will tell, I'm Nair, because he's nothing to do with Nair, but because of the soul winning and want to bring people, he just kind of following. So 4 years he study your bachelor degrees. Every weekend he go for giving tracts. He brought many people to the church, invited people, come to church, because he thought that it's an obligation, he has to do it something, or to impress something, please something. Maybe after 4 years, he did 4 years that. The last maybe week, just before the graduation, the Sunday, was preaching from John chapter 15. I am the true vine, here are the branches, you know. Just to be able to explain the inseparable relationship with the believer with God, Jesus Christ. Everybody astonished when we gave invitation, Matthew walked down to the aisle and he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ that day. Until that time, everybody was astonished in the church. A man goes and bring people, invite them, and then I just, that afternoon, I was in my home, he came and knocked on my door, and we had the privilege to lead him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Prayed, and understood, and then I said, Matthew, so you always go for soul winning. I learned that Jesus Christ is the only way, but I really, I did not know that he was in my heart. Sometimes people involve that. Here, it's a different, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to Paul. The word is, Lord, what will thou have me to do? That question arise to the Lord Jesus Christ. Never again Paul regretted about that question. He followed and kept on going on the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a great assurance in his life. He belongs to Jesus Christ. The first of all, you and I need to have that acknowledgement that he saved me, and have the assurance. I am saved, and others need to hear it. Many times, if we don't have that kind of assurance, it's so hard. Because I can boldly tell to anybody else, because Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Because he's the only qualified Savior. He's the only one just loved me and gave himself. He's the only one can forgive my sin. He's the only one just gave me eternal life. He is the only one just changed my life. He is the only one just brought happiness and joy to my life. Apart from him, there is no life. See, there is a vital thing each and every believer need to understand. Acknowledge with assurance, yes, he is my Savior. And he is the only person can help others also. We had to go through the scriptures sometimes, the New Testament, you see. Jesus himself, I came to seek and save which was lost. Without a shadow of doubt, he's telling, I came to seek and save which was lost. Further he said, I came unto you. I came for you. I came that I might be able to give my life for others. Repeatedly he was just telling to other people, and repeatedly he was teaching his disciples. Repeatedly he was talking to the crowd, explaining that way he came. It's amazing that the gospel, every day, every moment, as he was teaching to his disciple, he always just relating to that cross. I came to give myself, and they are going to crucify me. Could you imagine that every day he's walking in this earth, 3.5 years, looking to the cross, telling the disciple, that's the purpose I came. I just came to shed my blood. And that's the only purpose, that's the only way. Then finally, John chapter 14, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Period. That kind of statement is somebody can make it because only he can make it. No other people can make it. Because that must be saturated in the life of every believer. Every believer. Everyone. And that assurance, the Holy Spirit put such a seal in you that you may not be able to give all the answers what people ask you. But sternly you can say, he's the only Savior. He can save you. Because he saved me. He forgave me. He changed me. And I have a hope. And I have eternal life. And I can tell. That's what Paul, as he just said that, and the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city. See, arise and go. I like that. I just see that as a great commission to Paul. Paul just, arise and go. I always think about when the scripture says to the disciples and things in the, go to the city and I shall be told thee what thou must do. I think that is the very total commitment of Paul to the Lord with assurance, knowing that he is the only Lord, where he was working against him, and he's the only one who can give eternal life. Never ever Paul regretted. I often think about 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I go through all the difficulties and trials and trouble he has gone through, explaining every time. Every time he explaining that, all the troubles and struggles and pain and problem and persecutions and hatredness, even the Jews thought it's a plague. With all that kind of chaos around him, still he focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and preached the gospel, never gave it up, because he acknowledged in his life, he's my Savior, and with that assurance, he preached everywhere, no matter how educated they are, how positionally they are higher, even kings and authorities, any place, without a shadow of doubt, he was telling he is the only Savior. That need to come to each and every believer. That's what we cannot see nowadays. We always seek some kind of things without having an acknowledgement and assurance in our life that he is the only Savior. And that's what Paul had in his life. Through the scripture you can see that. And you think about that, even just Christ in his life over here in the earth. When Nicodemus came, you know, talked to him, Master, oh, you are the number one. You know, without your coming from heaven, no one can do what you are doing. Jesus was not just excited because of he said that. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Explaining that. You remember that, how graciously he's explaining? And even just he just talked that night with him, just face to face, and told, man, you be the teacher of these people. Don't you understand that? You need to be born again. How graciously, you know? He accepted the Lord Jesus. You can see that, you know, as we come closer to his life and he was crucified. And until that time, you cannot see that Nicodemus coming out. But when he was crucified and he began to realize he came along with the Joseph, with that all kind of to anointing, with all kind of things he came, and publicly he came. The people, those who walked with Jesus publicly that until that day, they fled away from him when Nicodemus came. He began to realize. He acknowledged, yes, this is my Savior. He gave his life for me. And he just came publicly along with Joseph and just wrapped his body with all that ointment and just put him in the cave there. He publicly came. Even the time of his burial, he acknowledged before the world, he is the only Savior. What a great acknowledgement and assurance in his life. You can see that. When the rich young ruler came to the Lord Jesus, what must I do to inherit the eternal life? Jesus explained that. He does all these things which I'm doing from the beginning, because he's talking about that he divided actually the Ten Commandments in two pieces. Just to say the last five things. See that that's a man's relation with man. And he was practicing everything. Then he said, but your heart is far away from the Savior. You have to sell everything and follow me. Oh, no. He walked away. Jesus was very direct to him. But he could not accept it that. He walked away with sadness. That's a saddest story, often I think. You came to the close, so close with the living water who can give it. And even the Bible says Jesus looked at him, loved him, because his enthusiasm obeying the law. But he was sad because he could not replace riches with Jesus Christ. Just walked away. What a sad story. He could not acknowledge that, whereas Nicodemus acknowledged later. And if you know the Lord Jesus truly, and you and I can have that acknowledgement, and even with assurance, with a shadow of doubt, you know you're going toward heaven. That will help you. That is a foundation for evangelism, for each believer. It's a foundation that, yes, I know this truth, and I need to tell to others. Secondly, so I put on the A, B, C, D. I go for many, but I only for four. Well, the second one is B, for burden with a burning desire. You need to have burdens for others. Burden for others, you know. That's something that sometimes people do many times, evangelism for the sake of evangelism. I often tell our people, we send out the teams and winning souls, you know, and people do because of the sake of that they have to do it. I said, if you are going because of there's a rule and regulation in the Bible college that you need to go and do 10 weeks, don't do it. I'll be very happy that say that, Pastor or Sir, I don't want to do that. I don't have the conviction. Don't ever go. You go with the burden. The burden. You need to have a burden. This is a lost soul. I need to tell them. I need to tell them. Then I began to explain that you need to have burden and burning desire for your own first. Your own people. Jesus said, I came to my own. They received me not. He's concerned about this. Jews need to be get saved. But they rejected him. I often think about Paul's desire for Jews. Though they hated him, but Romans chapter 9, Romans chapter 9, verse 1, you can see the heartbeat of Paul for his own people, his own people. The word here says, chapter 9, verse 1, and you can see that his testimony, the Holy Spirit sealed with his testimony. He was not just flattering. The word of God says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, because the emphasis he was doing so much, even people can say, he's boasting himself. It's not so. But he said, I lie not. Then the word continually says that, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. What he is going to tell, that he said, that even the God knows, or Holy Spirit witnessed in my conscience. Saying verse 2, the word of God said that, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. It means it's a perpetual sorrow in his heart. A continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. It's a kind of great heaviness in his heart. How many times the Jewish people chased him off, tried to kill him, tried to make him so much so they humiliated him many times. But his heart was, oh, these people may come to know Christ. He said that sorrow never stopped. I have great heaviness and a continual sorrow in my heart. Look at that. What a great burden for souls. I strongly believe a real born-again person will have concern and burden for our own kin and kids. We cannot save anybody else, but we can point out the Savior. For that, we have to do the best. And Paul was trying that, and he says that I have a great heaviness and a continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. That means what he's telling. I am willing to go to hell if that will help my people to come to know Christ. What a burden. I remember that they're reading my early days. I used to read a lot of biographies. Because I really want people to come to know Christ. You know, it's kind of, people say, you're so excited. Yeah, when the excitement stops, I'll be in the coffin. That's what I say then. Because I got saved. God saved me. Who am I? I'm nothing. Just a worm. Dust. He doesn't have to think of me. I was in the creation museum the other day. I was watching all these things. How puny is the earth compared with the vast creation. Even in that puny earth, I'm just a dust and worm, you know. Who care? But my Savior cared for me. Isn't that exciting? My Savior even thought about me. This morning I was just, the last night I was thinking about a prayer meeting. Christ is so graciously, individually, loves you. And if you are the only person ever living in this globe, still my Savior will come and die for you. I think about that Jesus crossing that sea, coming to Gadarene, where that the demon possessed the person. Nobody could tame him, and he was just so possessed all these legions, and he, no fetters, no chain could just hold him, break everything. And some night he cried with a loud voice, agony, and maybe sometimes he come to himself. And he began to think about his family and other people. There's no way that he just went to cry so grievously, he cries. I think my Savior heard that. My Savior was so concerned about that person. He burdened, he crossed that sea. Along with his disciples came, this man got saved. But the saddest thing that community now recognized, asked him to leave from that place. My Savior is so gentle, he did not even argue with them. He has gone back. You will not see such a gentle Savior. That gentle Savior came for you and me. And he took all that night journey, talking to these people. When people just opposed to him and asked him to get out from their boundaries, he never said anything. He won't say anything, but he just walked simply. And then he said, tell this man wanted to walk with the Lord Jesus going back. He said, go home and tell to your friends and family what God has done for you. And they had a compassion on you. And it's a great, I often think about, he came for that only one, that individual that night he traveled, came. He's so much concerned about each and every one of us. So how much more we have to be concerned about ours. Verse chapter 10, even that Romans chapter, where he's telling, brethren, My heart's desire and prayers to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You can see that the world's desire. We need to have that burden and that burning desire that our people may come to know Christ. If they're not going to come, I don't know whether it's right or wrong to say, but the thing is that each children were born in our family. I just go to the corner and pray, Lord, I want all my children to live and to live for God and things. I pray, Lord, if this child is not going to get saved and not going to come to you, it's better you take now. I know we'll be in heaven. But live all these years, enjoy every benefit of God. Live even under the sunshine of God's grace in this world. Reject him and go to eternal damnation. How much more God burdened for you, sent his son for you and me. We need to have that kind of burden. See, go with the burden and passion and knowing that you are going to talk to someone who been just darkened their eye, made the blind, because the God of this world blinded their eyes. They cannot see the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They may be intellectual, educated, knowledgeful, know under all the questions under the heaven. Can they give an answer for everything? They may be big or great, but they have a soul. And they may be some oppose you. Maybe sometimes they hate you. They maybe sometimes they curse you because they do not know. They do not know. And you and I need something. The most difficult areas of any believers, evangelistic area is our own kin and kids, or family. And because they all know you, know me. Oh, I know you. You know, they can talk that way. But still, we are bound to give gospel. Then I wrote that, I think 4 days back when I came, just night, Brother Matthew was telling me that you need to talk about evangelism. Suddenly I got something was going on in my mind. Then I put that, if you don't have burden for your own, how can you have burden for others? If you don't have burden for your own, how can you have burden for others? We look at the Lord Jesus. Every day they questioned Jesus. Still he was just going on talking to the Jews. He wept over Jerusalem. He never stopped. And he knew God of this world blinded their eyes with their religion and ritualism. And they may be thinking that is good, but they are lost. They could not understand this is the God of glory who talking to them. And they could not understand. Jesus could consume them with his anger, but is mercifully with the burden for their soul, knowing that he was repeatedly going to this place. How many times I tried to gather you folks? You never understand. Then he sent his people. What a great God we have in the Lord Jesus. Think about come for the evangelist and just going a little further. The Acts, you can see that. When Cornelius saw the vision, he sent the word to Peter. Then immediately he gathered all his friends and family. Come. There's something I heard. That's the truth. And I want you to hear it. That. See? He gathered his friends and family. He did not just kind of private session with Peter, you know. Because, you know, there is a truth. Immediately thought about his friends and families. Come on, gather. Because something, some news from God, I think perhaps that might be the right way. He gathered there. Think about Lydia. As I often think about that, Lydia is an Asian lady selling a great businesswoman in Europe. As she heard the gospel, what happened? God opened her heart, that the Bible says. When God opened her heart, she opened her home for the ministry. Yes, very, very things. He said, if you count me faithful, come and stay in my home and beg as a base and preach to the gospel. And she and her household got baptized. All that family. The concern about. Think about the Philippian jailer. So he went and got his family. They need to hear the gospel. We need to have a burden. I know it's a very difficult task. They may not hear it. They reject you. That what happened to me when I got saved. My parents rejected me because they sent my uncle to me talking. All the way 3,000 miles they travel and come and talk to me that you need to get back. You are putting down our family in the mud and you are the oldest son. We have very hope on you. You've been sick, we've not having a proper sleep and you're dying and now you're just getting already changing your religion. I said, no, this is the way that God saved me. This is the way I'm going to go. And we will not give you any inheritance, nothing to do with their family. We will not allow. It's all right. I'm going to go. My father was so kind of arrogant. He should not come to my gate. 8 years I could not go to them. And they think that I'm just put down their family name into mud. But one thing I could do, keep on praying, sending different people, keep on praying. You know what happened? Because this doctor prayed for my soul 18 months. That encouraged me to pray for my parents over 16 years. Not a single day just passed in my life without asking and pleading God to save my father and mother. And God is a God of mercy. And 16 years later, both my father and mother got saved. Sometimes we give it up. I'm just trying my level best. I told them, or they won't hear me, nothing to do with that. You know, it's all that, but still we can talk to our Savior very privately. Lord, you know, you are the one who saves. And you love them more than me. And that kind of, we have to, because the world in which we live today is more worse than what was previously. The last generation getting worse and worse. So how much more we need to concern about our own families. They need to get saved. They need to get saved. And you can see that they all, this, all those people, they were just willing to give themselves for their own. Then you can see that the compassion. I like that word, compassion. That what Jesus told to that gathering demon-possessed man, had compassion on you, go and tell them. I like that to read a few verses from Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, the word of God says, as he just saw this all multitude of crowd coming to him, we'll read from verse 36, the word of God says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. Our Savior is a compassionate Savior, isn't it? A gentle and compassionate. A gentle Savior, you know, that how many times people just came unto him and just talked so many things against him, questioned him, and even said, you're doing everything with the power of the demons. Beelzebul, that's the one you are using, you know. I mean, he just kept on doing. But here, he moved with compassion. The word 36 says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad, the sheep having no shepherd. We had to realize these people, though they hated them, they come to him with a different attitude. Many of them coming for healings. Many of them coming for questioning him. Many of them are just come to just find out some fault on him. Kind of desire this crowd has got. But Jesus saw them, all this crowd, with their various kind of mentality and attitude. But Jesus saw these people were lost, the sheep without a shepherd. That's what we have to see, that no matter. You see, you cannot expect from people, the unconverted community, that they are going to just please you and love you. They did not love my Savior. They're not going to just going to receive you, elevate you. Sometimes we expect, as we knock on the door, everybody should open the door and welcome you, come on in, have a cup of tea, and tell me what you're going to tell. You're not going to get that. You know, sometimes back in home we go, if you're not sharp enough to take back your head, your nose can be bleeded. They'll just bang you there sometimes, you know. And I mean, it's a dangerous world. But they are doing because they do not know Jesus Christ. They've been controlled and moved by the force which we call even Satan himself. He hate gospel. He hate gospel, you're the carrier of the gospel, so they hate you. So here what happened, that it's a tremendous, the Lord himself is telling. Then he turned to his disciple. You can see he communicating his vision to the disciple. So I just jotted down in my book, you and I, every believer must see the world with the vision of heaven, as heaven sees. As heaven sees. We have to see that. What heaven sees? Lost world. Need help. And that help can only in Jesus Christ. And no matter, they react in a different manner, that's up to them. I did that 18 months. I remember that there was a girl who was studying for nursing from a Nair family. In that college, she brought me a New Testament. Oh, how cruel I was. My pride. I just scolded her left and right. Being born in a Nair family, come to education, to having become a nurse, and you just taking their religion and telling to me. I almost shook that girl, you know, and took the New Testament and put on her bag and said, go. After I got saved, the first thing I went to her and apologized, and thank God she trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. God made me as an avenue to bring her to the Lord Jesus Christ. But because she's a nurse, she has to do it, she did it. She's a student. See, that is our attitude. That where we are. Some of you were such, Corinthians says. Some of you are such. We forget about that. Most of the Christians' problem is after we come to Christ, we are so superficial saint, we forget about who we were. And we began to just have a judgmental thing. No, it's not so. It's only but by the grace of God who we are today. It's only but by the grace of God. So we must see the world as Jesus sees. Everyone is lost. The people, those who you face every day, either they are going to go to heaven or they are going to go to the lost eternity. There is no in between. No limbo, no other place, no or other people, what people say here and there, nothing. That's what the Bible clearly teaches. And that is God's word. Let God be true and all men will be liar. That's God's word says. So he says, it exists. He can just transmitting his vision to disciples, saying, then say this unto his disciple, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Then the verse, final verse says, pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. I think, in fact, that is the only prayer request ever he made to this world. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of harvest may send forth more laborers. Even as you think about it, he was talking, he was just doing the personal evangelism with the chapter 4, John, talking to the Samaritan woman. Then the people came back and he said, I have the meat, I have the food. He's talking about what he was doing, the will of God. And then he said, lift up your eyes. See, you said the harvest is going to come after 4 months? No, it's already there. It's already there. He thought about the lost world. And tried to just to communicate that to the disciples, so they may be able to take the gospel and tell them. And we must see that, because the old world, Sometimes people say, some we have students, people call me sir, some call me pastor, and whatever. Sometimes people say, oh, that's a hard area. Then I go and just tap my stubby shoulder and put him around me and say that, show me some place, if it's an easy place I can go. No. There's no easy place in this world. Every place you go, there's some hard. Some may be aggressive, but some may be just naively waiting for you. Some is just looking for an opportunity. But every place is a tough place, because every place are filled with the non-believers, controlled by the system of this world, which is the demon himself, So there's not an easy place in this world. So we must have a vision as the Lord had. Jesus always looked at people, they are lost, they need him. That's what he's just looking. Then finally, just we need to have a dependence and a determination in evangelism. We must have dependence of God. It's very interesting things, you know. We have to depend upon the Lord. With our own strength, we cannot do it. See, Matthew chapter, the other day, Timothy was reading that Matthew chapter 28, the last two verses, that 28, chapter 28, verse 20, it's become that passage. The word says that teaching, verse 20 I'm reading, teaching him to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the... Yeah. If you are involved in evangelism, obeying his great commission, God promised, lo, I am with you always. He comes along with us. One of the very purpose the Holy Spirit comes to our life as we got saved, to guide us, to lead us, to strengthen us, and comfort us. And he might be able to just give the light to our life. And Jesus himself is with me. I'm not doing his ministry without his strength. See, John chapter 15, he said, I am the true vine and they are the branches. Then he said that, as the three, four verses you come down, without me, he can do nothing. Our sufficiency is Jesus Christ. I do not know, Lord, how I am going to face the world. I remember when I got out from the college, starting this gospel team, I was really scary. So what happened, I took some tracks, went to a railway office, 5 o'clock, people are coming out. I just closed my eyes and given the tracks. I think, because I'm getting nervous. Because the kind of Palghat is filled with 95% Hindus and a lot of kind of militant there. So I just closed my eyes, given. So then I saw it has gone, then I give another one. And after 3 days, I opened my eyes. Yes, I can talk. And then I smiled, you know. Then people know that, oh, you are, you know. I mean, it's so shaky. It's just too hard. It's not like over here, you know. It's literally, I'm telling you, because we start the gospel team. I just came to Palghat and start the ministry there because I know a lot of souls there and they got saved through my previous trips, you know. Then I was there in a small room, at a 10 by 10, somebody rendered to me. And there, and 3, 4, 5 days, I just lie down thinking of what I will do. I'm alone here. How can I do that? You know that finally, 6, 7 days later, things I'm eating and sleeping, I should not be doing. Took the track, went to the railway office, just stay there, you know, giving, you know. But that helped me. Then I began to learn that he is the one helping me. He is the one, not my strength. They'll touch my, one of the passages, it's Matthew chapter, Mark chapter 16. As we talk about that, this passage, it's a tremendous blessing for me. And the word here says, chapter 16, that you can see the Great Commission. And finally, as the disciple was obedient to his commission, and they say verse 20, And they went forth and preached everywhere. This crowd. They went forth and preached everywhere. Look at the next word. The Lord working with them. The Lord working with them. They are not alone. God gave the great commission and he also said, "Lo, I am with you always. I am going to work with you." What a great comfort that. The God of heaven who saved me, he called me and gave me the burden to preach to our own people. With the compassionate heart I'm going, my Savior working with me. Working with me. What a tremendous Savior. I remember years back, Matai and a few other people, we took a team and we crossed the river. We kept the jeep other side. We were reaching out the village. We had a gospel meeting 3 days. The third day, bigger crowd, almost around 12, 1300 people gathered there. And those days, I'm kind of a runaround preacher. I just don't stay anywhere. Preach and preach. You know that I know the people need to get saved. Given a gospel message, and then I give the invitation, and somebody from the back shouted at me and abused me. The quietness of the moment we just turned, and they look back, they come in a man with almost 6 feet with an open knife. He would come and kill me. I come to kill you. The people were just thinking, my boys were just around me, but even time I call them boys because they're learning and they come. I do not know, even though I understand. As he come around 12 feet away from me, I told him, go and sit there. Just that voice. Go and sit there. I said, like a baby, he walked there and sat on the chair, dropped down his knife. Then I began to myself, I did not shout at him. I did not do it. What did it? Everybody was looking at each other. This man coming so much, like a baby. I did not even just roll my eyes, you know, just go and sit there. He just went and sat. I gave invitation for 25 minutes and prayed for many. Still that fellow is glued to the chair and sitting there, not getting up. Then I've been able to just go and talk to him. And he began to explain why he came, what he has done, what he accomplished with that and things. Anyway, next day his wife got saved and his children got saved. And this fellow never trusted. He was ripping. He was got a kind of shameful face. And gradually he started coming to church. Later he got saved. You know, it's a thinking that I did not raise even my voice. I remember I went with Brocelli one time for preaching the gospel. Chelly's got a much bigger voice than me. And we were in just Shantinagar, Bangalore, preaching. Some people came to just shouting. So Chelly jumped out from the place and he just roared like a lion. These people are literally fled away. But I did not use it. I just said, go and sit there. It's simply they sat there. God is with us. God is with us. I like that verse, the bar. God working with them. He did not give a job to us and ask them to go. And maybe after a month he will come and just ask us, what did you do? No. He's with us. He's with us. That's a uniqueness of Jesus' work and presence in our life. And I always think about Jesus said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. You can be a fishers of men by following him. If you're not following, you cannot make that. Follow me, I'll make you a fishers of men. Because you have to follow him. He's with us. We have an inseparable relationship with the Lord Jesus, and he knows without him I cannot do anything. So he asked me to do some heavenly work in the earthly way to reach out to others. He said, I'm with you. I'm with you. Even somebody, I think I sometimes think about all the troubles and trials Brother Paul has gone through, you know. And maybe they stoned very much painful, isn't it? Beating. I think the Lord might have put his an extra hand on him, given a kind of grace to observe that. He's not leaving us alone. Having that confidence, ABCD can go on. Acknowledge. And with that, accepting that, with the assurance, I'm saved. I'm burdened. And this is the only way that people can come to know him as their Savior. And that must be there. Then we have compassion. We need to have compassion. Without him, they are all lost. Then we have the dependence in him and determination to follow. I think that is going to help us. I trust these few points may be helpful to you. And pray for me as we are just doing that. Get excited for Jesus. Get excited. And because it's a heavenly work. He called the just people with the kind of nothing. It's in the kind of dust and worms. Let us go on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor? Did I take too much time?
That's good. Oh.
Does anyone have a question?
Praise the Lord. What a great Lord.
Answered all their questions. Okay. Yes, Brendan, go ahead.
When you have gospel meetings,
yes.
How do you get people to the meetings?
Right. See, we have this gospel team and the church. We have a visitation programs. We go and visit. 2 or 3 days we visit and invite people.
So it's knocking on doors?
Not, you know, knocking on doors and talking to them. We use all the things, you know. Then we invite them. Maybe you're inviting around 300 people, maybe around 30 people shows up. So that get to go on. Then we use these people, help them to tell them and come on, you invite other people, you know. So that we have to just kind of way that we have to work was very a kind of settling way. We are here for just giving the gospel, not changing your religion, you know, telling some truth. Hear that. If you are interested, you can come in. So we put that way. Then sometimes, you know, the problem is sometimes that we just go and just tell them, if you don't accept, you will die and go to hell, nobody comes. And that was sometimes we just put a blockage, you know. Sometimes we are over enthusiasm, we kind of truth without love can just sometimes kind of blockage. So invite them, they hear the gospel and think. One other thing is that preaching, the evening gospel preaching is that. Preaching is one-way communication. You are preaching, they are hearing. So you have to just get their attention and preach the word of God. Then afterwards only they ask questions. If you go and witness personally, they can ask hundreds of questions. You may not be able to give, but that we prepare for that, that they come for gospel meeting, we invite people. Knock on door, talk to people, and tell. Sometimes we rent somebody's backyard, somebody's hall, then only that people come and do that. So it's okay. Kind of knock on door. Yes.
When you knock on the door to right. Invite them,
yes.
Just how does that conversation go?
No, we just talk about the. First of all, we talk about the literature piece of what we have, you know. We explain that. Then some people say, "Oh, why don't you come inside?" Some people say, "No, we are not interested," you know. Then, so different kind of attitude we get it that. Then we'll say that we are also having an evening meeting the day after tomorrow or something. Will you please come? You know, you come and hear it. So we invite that way. So we try to open the gospel with a very mild way. And many times, maybe 95% of the time, we never tell the community we are going to start a church there. You know, we only say that we have a Bible studies. Then the Bible study, we began to just build up such a way, then the people began to realize they need a church. Then we start the church. Otherwise, in the government or a community can say, oh, these people are coming to start a church over here. Mm-hmm. So these people themselves, the local community people, gathering week after week, then they will say, we need a church. So that way we can escape from a lot of problems. That's where we start that. Oh, yes.
So, have you tried other tracks?
We tried...
You always find that they're most helpful in your...
Yeah, we tried other tracks also.
Yeah.
Chick track is something that, it's kind of comic book people, you know. Old and the young, they like both that. So we also have some kind of track that also, we use that. And we are actually under the process. One of my friends from Kansas, the Eng family, they began to draw some pictures and making some kind of tracks there. I'm planning to translate in different languages there. So Chick gave me maybe over 200,000 out of this year.
Is there any particular
one that you use? Like we have varieties one. We just translate to different, I think, two or three varieties we use that. That helps that. Actually, people, you know, they want to do that because it's very easy reading. And pictures, you know, not sometimes you give a, like the old days, if you give and they get a booklet, like in Gospel John, Gospel Mark, people are not going to take nowadays. They may take it but don't read it because the things been changed nowadays. Everybody has got tablet and they all look for easy readings. So make it in a short and a nice and a bold letter, it will get it. If you give in a more kind of book types, people don't take it that, you know, so we have to be careful with that.
Yeah.
Simple, it's better.
Yeah, I think, please, the last question we're just trying to talk.
Hindus.
Yes.
You know, there's lots of Hindus in Australia.
Yes.
How do you sort of engage like the Hindu mindset, you know, because there's sort of a blockage there with their multiple deities and their culture and all of that.
Yeah.
How do you engage?
So what we do that, because being a Hindu background, some hate, some like it. Someday I won't tell my name unless they're open it up. What happened is that we just try to engage them because they are all, most of them are, a vast majority of them are a kind of religious people.
Yeah.
So we just go along with that, which temple you go, what temple you do, and what kind of ritualism you do, things, you know. Then we talk about, are you satisfied with that, you know? And we have to ask the question of their work, you know. Then most of them say, I'm still trying, you know. No, it's not, but you need to have a definite answer. Even at the end of your life, you're going to try and try, then where you go? Who knows? Then we began to open up for the gospel, you know. And this is what the Lord Jesus says that, you know. You can know in this world. You can know. Then we began to explain that we are all sinners, and every one of us. Some people just smile and say, I am a sinner. You know what? Then I will say, is that something to be easy to joke with sin, you know? But there's a punishment for that. Then we explain that, how we can. Then plain gospel we are giving. Some receive, then some will say, I would like to hear more. You know, so we don't push them. We just give some time. Then we maybe next visit, maybe 2-3 visits, you know that. Then many of them open that. It's very easy. People never heard gospel. We can explain very plainly to them. They will be very eager. But people who heard gospel hundreds of times, very hard. And so I found that instead of getting with the argument, just if they just agree that I'll hear again, I'll go again. So that way that we need to work with them. Thank you.
Save me, brother.
Yeah, well, you might grab him after we pray. Everyone else can go. If JC wants to ask a question, then she can do that. Okay. All right, thank you for your presence here this evening and for your support and encouragement of the ministry in India. And thank you for teaching us. We really appreciate that. Yeah.
Well, I learned from you.
All right, well, let's press pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. That you are raising up labourers for the harvest field. You want us to pray about that. We pray again for that this evening, that you continue to send forth labourers. And pray that we would enter the harvest field. It's all round about us. And it's not to say that the harvest is a long way off. The fields are ripe under harvest round about us if we've got eyes to see. And so, Lord, I do pray that you would open our eyes and help us to see and help us to willing to go forth even just to our neighbours within our own family. We're reminded about that this evening, those within our own family. Lord, we pray that the burden of lost souls would weigh very, very heavily upon us. But we thank you for the good news of the gospel, which has saved us. And we thank you that we can be assured of that and share that our testimony with confidence to others, that the Lord Jesus can save them as well. Thank you for the questions and the good and practical, helpful answers. And we just, again, rejoice in the gospel. And we pray that you'd help us to be increasingly effective in reaching others for Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.